This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. He's Jeff Erickson. We got a great show coming your way over the next 60 minutes, taking you through a good chunk of the second half between Egypt and Argentina. Just went to the half at Mercedes-Benz Stadium down in Atlanta. It is 1-0 Egypt. Early header goal on the board. Messi was denied on a penalty. Jeff, we'll go a little bit deeper on that. A few opportunities for Argentina missed in that first half, but Argentina is still minus 185 on the live line to push through to the round of eight. Egypt plus 145 if you think they can hold on to that 1-0 lead. Of course, Jeff, we do need to look back on the disaster that occurred last night in Seattle for Team USA. We'll give a full recap. We'll have Kyle Bond joining us later in the show to get his thoughts not only on the betting card for today, but what he saw from Team USA last night. We'll have Eric Alterman joining the show for his full MLB card as we close in on the All-Star break. Jeff, before we go a little bit deeper on the World Cup, I do want to remind you, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, etc. You can find us. You can find all VSiN programming in podcast form. So again, Egypt up, 1-0 at the half over Argentina. Keep you posted on everything happening in that game as it plays out. But Jeff, Team USA last night, man, a 4-1 defeat at the hands of Belgium. Obviously, a lot of narratives coming into this game. Balogun ends up playing, doesn't really end up mattering. You know, there were some brief periods in the first half where you felt like, okay, all right, Team USA is going to make this a game, but just a colossal number of mistakes defensively. You know, one of the worst goalkeeping mistakes you'll see on this stage. And to me, Jeff, a Team USA side that I think looked shook early on. You know, the way this game started, you never really felt like that momentum swung back in their direction. And it had a few opportunities in the second half, but even with the sense of urgency needing multiple goals to get back into this game, I mean, there were really only, what, two or three opportunities where you felt like, man, that ball could have gone in. Just a stunningly, stunningly disappointing effort from Team USA, which did close as a minus 130 favorite.
Yeah, and in retrospect, that line looks farcical, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the U.S. had home field advantage. This was a not ready for primetime performance by Team USA all the way around. And credit to Belgium gets credit here, too. I want to make sure we make that clear. Belgium played great last night. They played great against us in a friendly earlier where they beat us 5-2. They beat Team USA way back in 2014. This felt like 12 years ago where that was the game where Tim Howard stood on his head and set a record for the number of saves made by a goalkeeper in a World Cup game. That's not a good stat to have, by the way. That means that you're getting dominated. We are lucky to get that one extra time. This was supposed to be a golden generation for Team USA. They had played like it in the group stage, but we got exposed against a higher graded class. And I think maybe that's one of the things to take away here is this is what happens when you step up in class. If you look at who we played in group play, if you look at who Team USA played in the first round of the knockout stage, this was another level up. Keep in mind, the World Cup got expanded from 32 to 48 teams. So that first knockout round stage is much like just an extra round and a lighter class of opponent that you're facing. Belgium is a top 10 team in the world for a reason. They made some interesting starting lineup decisions too. They got younger. Kevin De Bruyne didn't start in this game. Romelu Lukaku didn't start in this game. Both came, you know, in the case of Lukaku, he came off the bench. They had young legs in this team. This was supposed to be a past their prime generation team for Belgium. It was past their golden generation. They looked like the better team on all facets of the game. You know, it's not a surprise that Balogun didn't make an impact because he didn't get much service. They couldn't get the ball to him. Christian Pulisic, before he got hurt, had a terrible game. It was much like the Christian Pulisic that we had seen 4 years ago, where when in trouble, he would try to take over, play hero ball and dribble through traffic. Couldn't do so. Had a couple of early giveaways that were pretty bad. He did have the pass that set up the U.S. goal off the free kick. He did make a nice pass to Balogun on that play. Just needed to see more of that. It didn't happen. The goalie play was horrific, by the way. It was horrific on that one goal. But Freeze made two big saves early in that game. You know, this could have been worse, Nick. This the way it was if it weren't for Freeze making those couple early saves. So all around, I don't know. I think we look foolish now for even thinking that USA was going to score multiple goals, that they were going to be the favorite here for some reason. I feel like I misled myself. I wanted to buy in that this was different. It was not different.
You know what it reminded me of, Jeff, as a Big Ten football fan, is all these years where, you know, Wisconsin cruises through their division in the Big Ten, and then it's the showdown with Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, and you're thinking, mm-hmm. okay, maybe this is the year, and it's 28-7 midway through the third quarter, and that game is completely over. I got the same vibe from Team USA last yes. night. So the thing I want to ask you about Pulisic, you're a much bigger soccer guy than me. I dip my toe in for events like the World Cup. I'm very much aware of where Pulisic stands as kind of the leader of this team. Is the heat that he specifically is receiving after last night warranted? You know, how much does leaving the game with an injury kind of exonerate him? It felt to me, at least on social media last night, like there was kind of a reassessment of, okay, is this guy really as good as we think he might be?
I think the best form of him is, but the problem is what happens when you don't have your A game. And I don't think he had his A game the entire tournament because of that quad injury or the calf injury, excuse me. And it just got exacerbated on that play with the injury there. I think he's better. If you follow how he does in club play, I think he's best off as a supporting player and not the main guy on a team. You know, he can be brilliant at times, but there are other times he's had an up and down professional career. And I think that kind of his performance in the World Cup kind of reflects that a little bit there as well. And the thing is, it's not a crime to be not elite, not be among the best in the game. I think we want to elevate him to that level. He's not at that level, unfortunately, there. Nick, quickly, Spain, Portugal. I saw, you know, Spain got the win there. This was a better game in the first half than the second game. A little bit of a slacking game in the second half. Key subs came in late in that one there. They got their 1-0 win. They took care of business against Portugal. It's probably the end of the road for Cristiano Ronaldo. Portugal will have to reassess what they're going to be doing, but they have a lot of good young talent still on that squad. Spain, a big favorite to beat Belgium, -320. That could be a dangerous game for Spain as well. I'm looking forward to seeing that one there on Friday. Quick turnaround for both of those teams. Before we talk a little summer league, do you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire, as you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now and use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Quick heads up, a quick news note there. Connor Griffin has a finger tendon injury for the Pirates. He's going to be out for another month. More on that coming up later in the show as we talk about our baseball bets, best bets. Nick, NBA, we got big news. We got another big contract signing, this time with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, and anything that's happening with a team like Cleveland right now, you're initially thinking like, okay, Donovan Mitchell just signed a huge extension. What does this mean for their pursuit of LeBron James? You know, that was almost the bigger reaction when we saw that news this morning. But we'll table that for now because Donovan Mitchell has signed a $273 million max extension. And look, I think this is a really interesting decision in light of how we just saw Brad Stevens yesterday talk about the Jaylen Brown trade for Boston and essentially putting it out there that, yeah, we love Jaylen Brown. We think he's a really good player. We don't want to be tying up this huge, huge share of our cap. And we already have another big money deal on the books in Jason Tatum. We don't want to tie that up in one player. And I think in a lot of ways, Donovan Mitchell is kind of in that same zone as Jaylen Brown. He is a really, really good player. He's in the conversation to be a top 10 guy in the NBA, but is he on that level where just him with a decent supporting cast gets you 55 wins every year, gets you an outside shot at the NBA title? I'm not sure it does. So I think it's really interesting to compare Brad Stevens, who is as respected as anybody when it comes to front office moves, you know, basically saying, yeah, we don't want to pay this kind of contract. And then Cleveland turns around and gives a high money deal to Donovan Mitchell. So this deal will pay him almost $61 million starting next season. So he'll play on the final year of his current deal in 26-27. It goes up to 66 mil in year two, 71 in year three, and then a near $76 million player option in year four, which is all the way out in 2030-31. Now, it is worth noting that Donovan Mitchell did leave some money on the table, which is hard to believe given the numbers I just rattled off. By signing the extension this summer, he could have signed a bigger and longer max had he been willing to wait until next year. But instead, he decides to lock that in. He does give the Cavaliers a little bit more flexibility in the short term. But, I mean, this is Cleveland officially committing to Donovan Mitchell, Jeff, because as soon as the ink is dry on that contract, there are just teams that won't trade for him, right, if they ever do want to get off of him. And, you know, he's taken up a huge portion of the cap. This deal is going to take him into his mid-30s. So any speculation that we could see the Cavs, you know, make dramatic moves after flaming out last year does not look like that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and I have to wonder, part of their decision matrix is who else are they going to be able to do this with? I think if you're the Boston Celtics, you have more options than you do if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, this might be the best they can get. I do wonder whether this is a mix that will work in the playoffs. We saw it be something that was less than satisfying in the playoffs in both of their series, to be honest there, in all three of their series, to be honest there. Even going back to the Toronto series, I thought it was kind of lacking as far as the oomph goes, as far as it goes. So, yeah, I think it is really interesting to see what happens with that. We'll talk more Summer League probably tomorrow on this show, but, we always have notes on that. When we come back, however, we're going to shift the conversation over to baseball. Join us on the Progressive Guest Line is going to be our buddy Eric Halterman from RotoWire with his picks for the day. This is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's the Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on the sports betting network. We are, of course, monitoring Argentina-Egypt just out of the half in the 50th minute as we speak. Still 1-0 Egypt, put a goal on the board early in the first period. You're just tuning in. We had Messi missing on a penalty kick, being denied, I should say, on a penalty kick. A couple missed opportunities for Argentina in that first half. But the odds makers are telling us Argentina still favored to win this game. Minus 170 is your current price over at DraftKings. Egypt sitting plus 130 to close things out. Got ourselves a nice Major League Baseball slate on this Tuesday. One day game, by the way, starting up about 15 minutes after we conclude here on Prop Points. It's a doubleheader between the Brewers and the Cardinals, so just make sure you're aware. We'll see Jacob Mizorowski in the first game of that doubleheader. No pitcher announced yet for Milwaukee in the second game. But to help us fill out our MLB card for the day, we bring in one of our favorite guests, Eric Halterman, MLB analyst for us over at rotowire.com. Check him out at Eric with a K underscore Halterman on Twitter, and he joins us, of course, via the Progressive Guest Line. Eric, I know we want to start in the NL Central, not with the Brewers and the Cardinals, but with the Cubs on the road in Baltimore tonight. It's Matthew Boyd taking on Shane Baz, and you're going to start us off with a money line play.
Yeah, I do like the Cubs in this one. The main reason is actually going to be that their lineup recently has been much better than the Orioles. Over the last 30 days, the Cubs are sitting fifth in terms of team WRC+, the Orioles all the way down to the bottom 10 at 21st. The pitching matchup is pretty interesting, a little bit tough to get a clear read on. Matthew Boyd against Shane Baz, both guys that I want to like and I'm not 100% convinced by. Boyd does have a 5.08 ERA on the year, but a much better 3.48 xFIP, a 3.60 Sierra. The ERA estimators think he's had a fine year, and if not for a 3.55 batting average on balls in play, which is almost entirely luck usually, Boyd would have a much better ERA so far. The only negative with him is that since coming back from injury, he injured himself while sitting down to play with his kids and missed almost 2 months. It's been not the best. It was 4 2/3 shutout innings, but with 4 walks against 4 strikeouts in his first start back, and then just 2 strikeouts, no walks his last start, but allowed 3 runs in 5 innings against the Padres. It wasn't terrible. He's been a mixed bag since his return. Shane Baz, on the other hand, has been a mixed bag all year, I think we can say. 4.19 ERA, but the ERA estimators are higher than that, in the mid-4s. He keeps having what seems to be like the breakthrough. He had a 9-strikeout game 3 starts ago, and then followed that up by giving up 5 runs against the Angels. And then in his last time out, 4 walks in a otherwise decent outing against the White Sox. It's just been all over the place for Baz. So 2 pitchers I don't 100% trust, but I like Boyd's body of work a bit more, and I like the Cubs lineup lately a lot more than the Orioles. So that's enough for me to take the Cubs in this one.
Eric, we got a big AL East showdown game 2, Rays and the Yankees. Yankees won behind Cam Schlittler's command performance last night. You have a play on the total, Will Warren versus Ian Seymour.
Yeah, I'm into both of these pitchers, which means I'm looking at the under on this one. Neither lineup has been great recently. The Rays have been 11th in team WRC plus over the last 30 days, so above average, but barely. The Yankees missing Aaron Judge down to 25th, one of the worst offenses over the last month. That doesn't bode very well for them. But with Will Warren, I think they have every chance of winning this one. He's got a 3.73 ERA on the year. 23% strikeout rate, a hair above average, 7.5% walk rate is solidly better than average as well. He did have a bad outing a couple starts ago, but rebounded with 7 strikeouts and no walks and just 2 earned runs against the Tigers his last time out. The strikeouts were dipping a bit for Warren in late May and early June, but he has 7 or more Ks in 2 of his last 3 starts. So it looks like he's turning that corner again. Meanwhile, Ian Seymour has very much turned a corner. He was somebody we were interested in as a fantasy sleeper early in the year because we thought, maybe is he going to be part of the closer committee? Maybe is he going to open as the 5th starter? Turned out he opened as a long reliever, middle reliever. It wasn't really anything very useful for fantasy purposes or particularly notable for the Rays, but he has recently moved into the rotation, and in his last 2 starts, Ian Seymour has been incredible, giving up just 1 run on 3 hits, 15 strikeouts against 2 walks. He is on fire right now. So 2 pitchers who I do trust, despite, you'd say, probably more decent than great overall numbers, going up against a couple of lineups which haven't been great recently. I don't think we're going to see a lot of runs today.
Well, more plays from Eric Alterman in just a moment, but folks, today is the final day that for just $2.99, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro access. That's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You get our NFL season betting guide. You get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from both DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and you'll get every betting guide, every season preview, every new VSiN Pro feature we roll out over the next 2 years. But you have to act fast. Today is the final day this offer is available. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Do it right now. You can lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $2.99. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, 2 years of VSiN Pro for nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. We're hanging out with Eric Alterman, MLB analyst from rotowire.com. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Eric, let's move over to Mariners Marlins, interesting cross league matchup. Brian Wu, Max Meyer is our pitching matchup. So we put a money line play on the board in Cubs O's. We had an under in Yankees Rays. We're going back to a money line here. What do you like?
Yeah, I really like the Marlins in this one. It is a great pitching matchup, you would think, between Max Meyer and Brian Wu, but I actually like Meyer a lot more than Wu today. Meyer has a 2.53 ERA on the season with a 1.11 whip. He is finally breaking out, living up to that potential we thought he had the last several seasons when injuries kept derailing him and preventing him from being the guy we thought he could be. 26% strikeout rate on the year to go with an 8.5% walk rate. He's given up just 7 total earned runs over his last 6 starts. Meanwhile, Brian Wu on the other side is somebody who I think might be one of the more overrated starting pitchers in baseball. I think he's somebody who is very much a product of that home park in Seattle, which he will not get to enjoy today. He's fallen to a 4.17 ERA on the year. At home, that's a 2.10 ERA. On the road, 6.38. And that's not actually that different from what we've seen, of course, over the course of his whole career. Not quite as extreme, but for his career, Brian Wu has a 2.50 ERA at home, a 4.20 ERA away. This is who Brian Wu is. On the road, he is entirely ordinary, and Max Meyer has been excellent throughout the year. So I think this is an advantage Marlins on the mound, and I think it's advantage Marlins at the plate. Over the last 30 days, the Mariners have been a bottom 5 offense by WRC+. Meanwhile, the Marlins sit 2nd in all of baseball. I think this is pretty clear favor for the Marlins on both the mound and at the plate. So I'll take the money line, even with the Marlins as pretty decent favorites in this one.
Eric, I forestalled this long enough. We got the showdown between our respective teams, Phillies, Reds, the war on the shore of the Ohio River, I guess. Zach Wheeler versus Andrew Abbott. What do you have in this game?
Yeah, I think you could take this a couple different ways. I definitely like the Phillies in this one. Would consider the run line, Phillies -1.5. You get about even money there. Could take the under on this one as well. I know I like the Zach Wheeler side of this for the Phillies. The Reds have had the 3rd worst offense over the last 30 days, and Zach Wheeler has just been incredible. Despite coming back from thoracic outlet surgery, there's been no sign of that. A 2.36 ERA and 0.94 whip for him on the season. 27% strikeout rate to go with a 6.5% walk rate. That's just a Zach Wheeler stat line. There's no evidence of a recent injury there. He did give up 4 runs in 4 2/3 last time out, but it came with 10 strikeouts and 1 walk, so I'm not worried. The question is, do you think that Andrew Abbott will also have a pretty decent day against the Phillies, a team that can't really hit lefties? They're 3rd worst in the league by WRC Plus against southpaws. Abbott, as he does every year, has a good ERA this season, 3.88, but a terrible Sierra, 5.08. He's been on a roll, though, recently. He had a 6.59 ERA his first 6 starts, 2.71 over his last 12. So maybe Abbott does his job as well, and we hit the under on this one.
Awesome stuff, Eric. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time, as you do most weeks throughout the Major League Baseball season. You can find all of Eric's work, all of his picks, over at rotowire.com, where he is one of our lead Major League Baseball analysts. And again, make sure you give him a follow at Eric with a K underscore Halterman. Appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the slate tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Eric Halterman, everybody. We got Kyle Bond from the Sporting News joining us for more World Cup talk when we come back. A lot going on in this Egypt-Argentina game. We had a goal on the board. The goal was taken off after a VAR review. Give you a full recap. We'll go deeper on Team USA last night. Kyle Bond from the Sporting News stopping by the Progressive Guest Line when we come back. You're watching Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is our friend Kyle Bond, cycle journalist at the Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter at @_bonfire, 2 N's as far as it goes. Kyle, every time you join us, there's a morning game in Atlanta. Thanks for doing it again with us today.
Yeah, no problem. This one's getting a little interesting, guys.
Yes. Very spicy. 1-0 still. Egypt could have been 2, but for a VAR overturn. What'd you think about the overturn?
Oh, this is one of those that makes it so hard to defend VAR because it's a foul. It's a foul. And by the letter of the law, this is a foul. It's so soft and it feels icky, right? It feels wrong. And I don't know yet how to reconcile it's a foul and it doesn't feel good together, because it's far away from the action. It's a very slight foul. Probably the head referee should be, if he's not calling it, that he didn't call it, right? And that should just stand. VAR, it's so hard to know where the line should be drawn, because clear and obvious can mean so many things to a referee. If you look at that and you go, it's a foul. Like, now what is clear and obvious? Clear and obvious is like, it's a foul, but it doesn't feel good. It's a foul and it should feel good. I don't know.
Just a quick update.
Well, that goal may have been taken off the board for Egypt.
Go ahead, Nick.
Go ahead, Jeff. Well, we have a goal for Egypt is the point here. This one will not be coming off the board. So it is going to be 2-0. We are in the 67th minute. Huge adjustment, as you'd expect, on the live money line. Egypt now -500 to close this out. Argentina +360. Big run out for Egypt. Perfect cross into the box and a relatively easy put in to now officially put Egypt up 2-0. We'll, of course, keep you posted if we get any more scoring while we're talking to our friend Kyle Bond. So, Kyle, we talked a little bit about Team USA to begin the show, as we had to, of course. And look, something my guy Jeff said really stuck with me, and I think this is a great way to sum it up. He said, I allowed myself to believe this team was maybe better than we knew it was deep down. Is that kind of how you're feeling coming out of last night's game?
Yes, very much. That's actually a really great way to put it. I think that's the first step, right? But this team, to me, this game just felt like such a big missed opportunity, such a huge slip in a big moment where I don't even think people needed them to win this game. I think a win in this moment would have really captivated the country. It would have really proven, hey, we might not be a top 10 team yet, but we can be. And it was the perfect opportunity for that, because not only were you facing a top 10 team, but you were facing a beatable top 10 team. And that doesn't come around very often. In 2014, when they played Belgium, Belgium was really good and the U.S. wasn't remotely as talented. And they still came really close. And here, it just felt like this was the moment. This was the best chance, because next time, right, if they get to this point in 2030, A, you're not on home soil. B, you might draw France or you might draw Spain. This just felt like such a winnable opportunity to get the fan base thinking, hey, we might not be in a place to win the World Cup yet, but we can get there. We can take another small step to get there. They wouldn't have even been making history. They made the quarterfinals before. That was in 02. But it would just feel like a draw for casuals to be like, I can allow myself to think that this time is different and it can be different. And they screwed it up. And the manner of the defeat was so comprehensive, yes, that it just feels like they lost that opportunity.
Oh, 100%. You know, it starts with your purported best player in Pulisic. And he was terrible before the injury. And I think there's a possibility he wasn't playing at 100%. But even still, we've seen him come up small like this before. We've seen him dribble in the traffic. We've seen him have the bad giveaways before where he tries to play a little hero ball. It happens. It's so frustrating to see it there. Contrast that with Mexico, who had a similar opportunity, harder opponent. At least they went out on their shield. At least that was a tremendous game. There was none of that feeling here for Team USA last night.
No, and I will defend Christian Pulisic here a little bit, because he has had, I mean, you can't take away from him the goal in the 2022 World Cup that he threw his body on the line for and really helped advance this team. That came in the group stage, and he has not really had any other major moments for this national team. He is unquestionably the most accomplished club football player in American history, but it just hasn't translated to the national team. And that is tough to reconcile. I think the hard part with Pulisic too is that he just doesn't have the feel of a superstar. He doesn't have the charm. He doesn't have the leadership. He isn't charismatic. He hasn't done it in many big moments. And I think that's tough for fans to really get behind when a player has all this hype and promise and comes through once in a while, but it doesn't make up for the misses in the press conference or in front of a microphone, and he's doing all these commercials, but like, he doesn't feel, I don't want to say likable, but like, he doesn't have that energy to him. And it's hard for people to get behind. I get it.
Well said by our guy, Kyle Bond. You can catch his work over at the Sporting News at @_bonfire with two N's on Twitter. It's going to be a long 4 years waiting for the 2030 Cup to roll around. But Team USA aside, Kyle, we do still have a really fun group of teams left in the tournament, including Switzerland, Colombia coming our way later this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern start. So betting-wise, what are you looking for in this game?
This is going to be a really fascinating game because it's going to be a massive clash of styles. And whenever you get a clash of styles, I struggle to pick like money lines or how the game is going to go. Because when you have two styles that mesh very well and you're like, all right, this is clearly strength on strength, I can predict how the game will go. It's just whose strength will rise above. It's easier to have a better idea of how the game will flow and pick a winner. But this one is a weird clash of styles. You have Colombia that really play what we like to call murder ball, where they muck up the game, but they muck up a game in a different way than an underdog tries to muck up the game, right? Like an underdog tries to give the ball away and just bunker in and defend. And Colombia don't do that. They really try to throw the opponent off of their game. And it works really, really well in CONMEBOL, in South American football, because when they come up against a team like Argentina, who they were expecting to play in the quarterfinals and may not now play them, that game is fun in the sense that Colombia is just trying to throw Argentina off their game. They're trying to mess up the midfield. They're trying to tackle you when you break the press, that kind of a thing. Against a European opponent, a more possession-oriented opponent, and a more attacking opponent, it's going to be really interesting how those styles clash. Luis Diaz has been outstanding at this tournament. He is the progressive outlet for Colombia. James Rodriguez is still an elite passer, but Luis Diaz does all the hard work. I really like him to get a goal or an assist at +140. Colombia is not a very high scoring team, so it's a little bit of a risk, but he has 14 shots and 5 chances created in his last 3 games, with no profit to show for it. He's due for a goal or an assist. And I also like both teams to score. Colombia really tries to mess up the game, as I already said, but Switzerland's a good enough attacking team that I think they will make this game a little more open than Colombia want it to be.
Kyle, we got about a minute left. Thursday, we've got France versus Morocco, first quarterfinal game. Massive game here. A lot of familiar faces with each other here. Morocco obviously had the deep run last World Cup as well. I can't wait for this game. What are you expecting out of it?
It's going to be fun. What I think is tough about France is that you have 3 elite attackers, really 4, that could be the star on any given day. And in a game where you can get enough goals to sort of, I tried parlaying them all, the 3 best guys against Sweden, because I thought they would get enough goals, and Dembele was the only one that fell short. I think given the odds here, you've got to pick one. Michael Olise to score or assist seems like the best option to me. I don't hate him to just assist at +200 as well, but he does have a good goal-scoring threat. France's midfield, though, is even thinner. Aurelien Tchouameni might be out injured for this game. It's already paper thin. If you want a flyer, because of that, I really like Achraf Hakimi to score or assist at +475. He loves to get up the field, and he's attacking France's weaker side. We'll see how this plays out. There's a lot of narratives here. It's going to be fun.
France sitting as a -400 favorite to advance in that game against Morocco tomorrow. Appreciate all the analysis, as always, from our guy, Kyle Bond. Again, find all of his great work covering the World Cup from start to finish over at Sporting News. Find him on Twitter at @the_bonfire. Switch it back over to Major League Baseball. When we come back, we'll get Jeff Erickson's card for the Tuesday slate. You're watching Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson here with you. Going to give you some baseball plays in just a moment. But, of course, keeping a very close eye on Argentina-Egypt. It was 2-0 Egypt when we went to break. It is now 2-1. Romero with a goal for Argentina. So about 9 minutes left in regulation before stoppage time for Argentina to try to even this thing up. A lot of possession taking place in the Egypt side right now. Some potential opportunity for Argentina down to plus 165 on the live line at DraftKings. Egypt sitting 215 to close it out. Again, about 8 minutes and change remaining in our first game of the day. Jeff, let's fill out our MLB card for the night. Eric Halterman gave us some good plays earlier in the show. Let's get some of yours now, and we will start with our first game of the day. It's game one of a doubleheader between the Brewers and the Cardinals in St. Louis. Got Jacob Mizorowski on the hill, going with an opener, I believe, on the St. Louis side for game one. So appropriately, Milwaukee, a heavy, heavy favorite on the road money line, minus 205, totals down at 7.5.
Yeah, first of all, Milwaukee minus 205 on the road. That is, you know, it's a total reflection of the pitching matchup here. Jacob Mizorowski up against, basically a bullpen start for the Cardinals. I get it. But St. Louis is 6 games over .500. They're a good home team. How often do you see a road team getting minus 205 against a good team like that? It's just eye-opening there. I don't think you can play the money line. You might want to choose to play a run line instead if you want to go that result. Just because what's the payout there? You know, that's the one thing I have a hard time getting at here. The other thing that's eye-opening is that Jacob Mizorowski, you know, anytime he starts, I'm checking out that K-prop. It's an automatic reflex. It's only 7.5 today. It's not the highest K-prop on the line today. It's Tarik Skubal is the highest K-prop. You don't often see the Miz not have the highest K-prop on the board. And the reason why is the Cardinals are not a big strikeout team. Last 30 games, 17.4% K percentage. That's lowest in baseball. Against right-handed pitchers, it's 21.4%. At home, it's 19.1%, third lowest in baseball. Howsomever, the Miz last time against the Cardinals struck out 12 Cardinals last time in 7 innings. I think this is a great bet. I think I'm going to go the over 7.5 Ks, minus 112 at Bet Rivers. If you want to ladder it at DK, it's plus 121 for 8.5 and plus 207 for 9.5. By the way, Nick, I believe we do have another soccer update.
We do. We have a disaster unfolding for Egypt right now. Again, they were up 2-0 about 5 minutes of real time ago, and it is now 2-2 as time ticks up in the 83rd minute. So another goal on the board for Argentina. Argentina has now flipped to a heavy favorite to win this match, minus 450 at DraftKings. If you think Egypt can bounce back from this, Jeff, plus 310. Is your number, but Messi with the goal for Argentina. Remarkable comeback unfolding right now. This team looked dead in the water about 10 minutes ago. So about 6 minutes left in real time as they're about to kick off. And then we'll see what we get for stoppage time. A thriller unfolding right now down in Atlanta. One note, by the way, Jeff, on that Miz prop, 7.5. Over that number in 12 of his last 13 starts, including that huge strikeout game against St. Louis about a month ago, which you mentioned. So like that call, looking at game one of that doubleheader between the Brewers and the Cards. Let's go to Cubs-O's. We talked about this one with Eric Halterman, Matthew Boyd, Shane Baz on the hill, and you were looking at another strikeout prop, Jeff.
Yeah, and I struggled with this one a little bit as well because the Orioles, first of all, they're worse against left-handers, of which Matthew Boyd is. They strike out a lot against him, 25.2%. But I'm worried about his usage, 76 pitches in each of his first two starts from the IL. I was thinking I'd want to play the strikeout prop, but it's 5.5 Ks, and that's something Boyd hasn't been getting to. So I'm going to go on the other side with Boz. And the reason why I am, and the Cubs might still win this game, but I think Boz will probably get the strikeouts to do it. The Cubs, they've been on fire, but they tee off in Wrigley Field. They're not as great on the road. 99 WRC plus on the road. It's about average with a 23% K percentage there. Boz is pretty volatile, but I think for the most part, we can count on his case. I have no opinion on the line on this game. I'll take Boz on over 5.5 strikeouts, though, plus 120 at BetMGM.
So you mentioned Jeff Tarik Skubal, the highest K prop on the board tonight. Tigers are at home for the Athletics. JT Ginn on the other side of that pitching matchup. Tigers heavy, heavy favorites on the home money line, minus 194. Total is down at 8. So are we leaning in on that K prop?
Yeah, I think we are. I think there's a couple of things I want to do here. And, you know, I honestly am, but it's not my strong point. But I will say I have another thing I like even better as far as it goes. But I think Scooble is back. I think he is the guy that we've been looking for. And, you know, had 26 strikeouts in his last three outings, 9 against the Yankees last time out. I'd ignore the home road splits just because for Scooble, just because it's been such a limited sample and he wasn't 100%. I think he is 100% now. You're looking at an A's lineup that's missing Brent Rooker, Tyler Soderstrom, Jacob Wilson, might not have Shea Langeliers. He sat out the last two games with a thumb contusion. The A's, they're worse on the road, 86 WRC plus on the road, 24.3% K percentage. I really like the Tiger side of this here. JT Ginn, on the other hand, last 30, he's got a 3.72 ERA and a 1.55 WHIP. Those two things do not match. I know his road stats are much better. K percentage is higher, walk percentage is lower. He gets away with it, though. He got away with 5 walks last time out. The Tigers are a team that will walk a lot. I think they're going to have runners on the bases the whole time. Because the money line is minus 194, again, not much of a payout. Instead, I'm going to go with the run line. I've done this before. Like when it was the Reds' disaster trip to Milwaukee, I'd go with the run line instead of the money line. You can get the Tigers at plus 110, minus 1.5 on the run line over at Circa.
Now into the 87th minute between Egypt and Argentina, still 82-2. We'll, of course, let you know if anything breaks before we hand things off to Money Moves. Jeff, let's go to Braves Pirates, where we get Hurston Waldrop on one side, we get Paul Skeens on the other. Pirates are still getting respect on the money line. Minus 181 is our price. Total is sitting at 8, but this has not been the same Paul Skeens for a while now. Jeff, we're starting to see some velocity concerns, 2 straight really, really concerning outings for Paul Skeens. Is this a get right spot? Are you starting to kind of look into that velocity data and wonder if something's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just the wins anymore. It's the performances, you know, it's the hard hits that are coming off the bat there. That outing against the Pirates against the Phillies was a bit of a disaster. Skeens is better at home for whatever it's worth. Just want to keep that in mind a little bit. At home, it's a 3.02 ERA and a 0.94 WHIP. A K percentage is a lot higher. 12.2 K per 9 at home, 9.4 on the road. So there's still some things that are pretty positive here. I know the Pirates, we talked about this, teased this a little bit earlier. They're missing Connor Griffin. He has a torn tendon in his left finger. He's got to rehab it instead of surgery. Most likely probably going to miss at least a month, though. Brutal break for this team, already missing O'Neill Cruz and Spencer Horwitz. The Pirates bats, though, I want to focus on. They're a much better hitting team at home, even without those batters. They're better. And the guy I want to focus on is Brian Reynolds. 985 OPS in his last 21 days and 986 OPS at home. I'm going to go with the Brian Reynolds over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI. You get at minus 125 at DK. If you want to gamble a little bit more on the better payoff at 2.5, sometimes you get that with elite hitters. It's plus 166 over at DraftKings.
We got Yankees Rays down in Tampa. Yankees got a much needed win in game one of that series last night. Now it's Will Warren, Ian Seymour, our pitching matchup, and you were going to a Jason Dominguez prop.
Yeah, so right-handed power does much better in the trop. It's a little thing that the light hasn't been shown on that as much. And we were thinking, oh no, Junior Caminero is really going to struggle in the trop this year after playing in Steinbrenner Field last year. No, he hasn't. The team hasn't struggled. It's been a great place for their right-handed hitters. Right-handed hitters as a general are doing better. Jason Dominguez is a better right-handed hitter than left-handed hitter going up against the lefty and Ian Seymour. I'm taking the Jason Dominguez over 1.5 total bases plus 184 at DK. This one was inspired by a RotoWire smart money prop.
All right, before we get to our best bets of the night to round out the show, Jeff, I know you have some for Brian Wu. You have some for Zach Wheeler. So which of those two do you like more? We'll get one more play on the card.
I'll just echo the Wu home road splits from Eric Halterman over 2.5 earned runs, minus 101 DK. Zach Wheeler over 7.5 Ks plus 100 at DK.
Best bets of the night to finish things out, Jeff. Where are you taking us?
Going to go back to the first bet. Jacob Mizorowski over 7.5 Ks, minus 112 over at Bet Rivers.
I'm attacking Paul Skeens, Jeff. He does not look like Paul Skeens. We're talking a 5.36 ERA over his last nine starts. Got shelled by the Phillies. Gave up four earned runs to the Reds prior to that. You know, giving up almost six hits per start in that nine-start span. 33 runs in 47 innings. We're going Ozzie Albies. Two-plus hits, plus runs, plus RBI tonight on the road in Pittsburgh to grab that. Plus 102 over at DraftKings. Don't mind the same play, by the way, for Drake Baldwin, Matt Olson. A lot of juicy prices out there for those Braves hitters. Money moves. Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Vaitoval coming your way next. They'll take you to the end of this Egypt-Argentina game. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This has been Prop Points.